Hello, and welcome once again to the OTP, the one true podcast for fanfiction readers, writers, and lovers. I'm your host and mod, Enthusiasm Girl. So welcome back, and you'll see I emphasize lovers in that first sentence this week, because this is going to be the long-promised episode about fanfiction as erotica and pornography. This episode is one that I really, really enjoyed putting together, one that I know a lot of fans of the show have been eagerly awaiting, and I think it's a really fantastic episode this week. We are joined by two new panelists, Lexi and Curious, and a third, Katie, who you'll remember from our episode on gender. Now, this episode, like I said, was really fun to put together. As you can imagine from the topic, this episode is explicit. We do swear, we do talk about sexuality very explicitly, we talk about pornography, so if you have younger people with you listening, you might want to skip this one and come back next episode, or you might want to make sure you're alone. We do get into the difference between mainstream pornography and explicit fanfiction. We break down exactly what makes a great piece of smutty, sexy writing, when things can go bad with that. We tell you a little bit about our own sexual preferences and desires. Mostly what we do, though, is celebrate the amazing community that we're all a part of that allows for the kind of free-flowing, open conversation about sexuality that we have, and it provides a place for all of the kink and smut we love to exist. So please join us this week as we delve into the topic of fanfiction as a place for erotica, pornography, and kink. So I have three contributors today, which is a lot, but it'll be a big, big, big topic. I have Lexi and Curious and Katie with me. So thank you guys for doing this today with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So we're going to just dive right in. We're going to talk about fanfiction as erotica and pornography. That's the topic today. It's one that has come up as a through line, I think, through a lot of the other shows that we've done up to this point. But this is going to be a really, really, really big, broad look at exactly why fanfiction has become a community for that, and what fanfiction kind of contributes to that conversation. So we'll start with you, Lexi. Do you want to talk a little bit about erotic and pornography and fanfiction, how it serves the community, and kind of how you discovered it and why you're really glad that it's a part of the community and what it's meant to you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I discovered it pretty young. I started reading Lord of the Rings trilogy and I quickly became obsessed. And I realized I had, you know, these emotional attachments to these characters. And back then, really long time ago, there was like a small internet community, but there was still fan fiction and fan work in a much smaller capacity. So I was poking around on the family computer, you know, and I found some stuff and some erotica on it, because at first it was like, there's some gen fic, some romance. I was like, okay, this is cool. And then I stumbled upon some more heavy duty stuff, and I was like, ooh, Aragorn and Legolas are going to get it on. I'm definitely going to click on that. Like, let's find out more about that. So it was just, I was curious, and through that I was able to see other people's curiosity, and it was like I found a community just like me, and that was pretty awesome, and who were interested in exploring these facets of the characters that were not portrayed in the books or later in the movies or, you know, anywhere in canon. So that was really cool, and it was just a feeling of belonging. Like, I didn't feel as weird anymore for my, you know, curiosities. And yeah, I think it's really important because fan fiction does provide kind of whatever you want in the fan fiction world. Like, somebody out there has thought of it and is also curious about it and has probably written it. And if they haven't, you can be the person who goes and writes it and, you know, fills somebody else's curiosity. And I just think it's cool because you can explore kind of whatever you want through the lens of your favorite beloved characters without this fear of, you know, just, you don't have to put yourself out there, I guess. You can do it, explore it through these characters that you have an attachment to already. That's why it appeals so much to me.
Curious, do you want to talk a little bit about your journey into explicit fan fiction?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of late. I mean, I've been reading erotica since I was really young, you know, Story of O and like Anne Rice's Beauty series, and I've always been into kind of kink writing, you know. And I discovered fan fiction when I started into the Sherlock fandom. You know, I watched the Reichenbach fall, and then I went, and it was over, and my heart was broken, so I went to look for just more content and found the Sherlock fandom, and then kind of found that people were writing. You know, I didn't really read a lot of fan fiction. And it was fascinating because there was such a diversity of writing and such a diversity of erotic writing. And I found so much fiction out there that was kind of, you know, relevant to my interests. And that was really, really great for me. I mean, for me, I thought fan fiction, it's a way to, you know, find content that might not be represented in other forms. You know, this was definitely different writing than I was kind of picking up novels and reading. And kind of it met a need for me, you know, in a diverse range of really interesting kink writing. And also, it kind of inspired me to write as well. You know, first I'm like, oh, wow, this writing is out there and, you know, people are interested in this and, you know, maybe I can contribute that as well. And so it was interesting because there's such a variety of different kinds of writing out there. You know, if you're looking for something that's really unique or maybe just appeals to you, you know, as Lexi said, you know, you're going to find it, you know, through fan writing. And I think that's really great.
Katie, what about you? So let's hear from you a little bit.
Okay. I also started reading fan fiction when I was pretty young. It was like anime, like Naruto. It was funny because I honestly cannot explain to you why I decided that, like, Slash and Yaoi and whatnot was my thing, but I did. It was just like, I saw this chemistry in the characters in the show that wasn't reflected in canon, and I wanted to see more of it, and I also had an interest in writing since before I started being involved in fandoms, and that was an outlet for it. And as I grew older, it became like a way to explore themes that I didn't get to explore in my real life experiences, and even like as I got older in my actual sex life. So that was interesting, and that was a big appeal of smut and fan fiction for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's very similar to my own experiences as well. I think that it kind of starts off when you're younger with kind of just wanting to see what's out there, and once you realize, again, the diversity of writing, the availability of it, the community that's kind of there around it, it just kind of grows and grows and grows, and you have more of an interest in it, right? I mean, it took me a little while of reading fan fiction before I started actually clicking on anything that had Slash, because I didn't think I would like it. Yeah. And once I read a few really, really well-written Slash stories, I was like, I'm on board this ship. Okay, let's, like, sail away on the ocean of shipping. And then it got kind of progressively, the more I read, the better writers, I would say, okay, I'm going to read this writer's stuff that's more dirty, even though that's not something I was interested in before. And it just kind of, it became a thing where, depending on the writer, I could be sold on different things, and different things became what I was looking for.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I think that it's just interesting to me, again, that diversity, but also the community that builds up around it. Because regarding, I think, the ability to find anything that you'd like, I think that that is something that the world of fan fiction does probably share with the world of mainstream porn, right?
Yes.
I think that for men who are enjoying pornography, there's a similar thing of that you can go to a Pornhub or you can go to Google and you can type in a sex act or you can type in something that you're interested in and you can immediately find that there's people out there who are making pornography for you, right? Yeah. That's been an enormous thing about the rise of the internet, is that access to kind of be able to see any kink, any fetish, anything that you're interested in, and have that sense of positivity about it, have that sense of, I'm not weird, I'm not a freak, I can go find this, there's other people who like it. But I think one of the primary differences between fan fiction to me and mainstream porn, or between the fact that it's women predominantly creating fan fiction versus men, is I feel like that sense of community around it.
I was just about to say, the much more social thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that sense of a community where you actually talk about it. That sense of a kink meme. That sense of, it's not just about, I want to go find this, click on it, masturbate in my room, and be ashamed of myself after, but at least know that it's there. I think, you know, I've met people who have even been willing to DNon over their pornography, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, they'll put their name on their smutty stuff on AO3, they'll be a part of the community. Yeah, Katie, you're a good example of that.
Oh, yes.
So it's interesting to me, because even now, like, through the Daredevil kink meme, I've been chatting with a lot of people. Just, we've taken a lot of conversations off to IM or off to Tumblr. And what's amazing to me is that it's not just a matter now of me, like, reading the smutty stuff. I will be up at 2 a.m. workshopping a smut fic with someone, where they'll, like, message me and be like, hey, so how big do you think Matt Murdock's dick is? Like, reasonably, let's talk inches. What should I put here? How big is too big? Or we'll be talking and they'll be like, hey, so what's another word I can use for cum? Like, it's the weirdest thing to me. Yeah. Or to go on the kink meme and post a really nasty, just dark prompt post for something really kinky.
Yeah.
And have, like, 20 people making jokes or adding to it.
Yeah.
It's just so bizarre to me when I tell other people I'm in this community. They'll ask me, like, what do you guys discuss all the time? And I don't want to be like, porn. Sex.
Yeah. I think that's so funny, because it's like when you were comparing it to mainstream porn, I was thinking, like, I cannot speak as a porn watching man that I get together with, or even, like, message my friends, like, hey, what did you like about this video? What's your comments on this video? That kind of thing. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so that's something that fandom definitely has. It's all its own.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a writing group. We have, like, we're an online writing group, and we, you know, we get together and we, it's just like, a, you know, 20 girls in a chat room writing porn, sharing sentences, you know, it's such a wonderful thing. I don't know.
It is.
No, yeah. I mean, it genuinely is, because I think that first off, what you have happen is that one of the chat groups that I got involved in, you know, a lot of us are in our 30s or 40s, but some of the people in it are, you know, 18, 19, 20. So there's a kind of a weird passing down of wisdom. Right? Yeah. Their mothers might sit down with them and say, hey, let's talk about sex, but they're certainly not going to have long conversations about consent and rape the way that we have. They're not going to have conversations about, you know, fantasy or, hey, how should this BDSM fic go down? How much consent do I need? What should the safe word be? Like, they're not going to necessarily get into that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for me, I've said this before in the show, but I'm ace.
Yes.
And being ace, I know before I started getting into fan fiction, there was a lot of times where there was a disconnect between me and regular people in my life about sex, where you don't necessarily want to talk about it when you're in person with people you know, and where obviously we had a differing of opinion where they were very sexual and I was not. And it was only through these kind of chat situations of talking to other women where I could say stuff like, hey guys, confession, I don't really know what a dick looks like outside of fan fiction, and have other women who I knew had written really good smut be like, what, you think we know either? Like, let's pool our knowledge on dicks. Like, so it's been affirming to me, because I think you get a more diverse picture of female sexuality when you're not just reading and writing smut, but when you're in those communities and you're actually able to talk to women about it.
Also, what I like about kind of these writing groups is that, you know, there's no shame. You know, I think I love that you have a bunch of women who are together just talking openly and candidly and just matter-of-factly about, you know, what they like, what they're writing, and it's just conversational. I love that.
That's definitely something that's hard to come by in society, too, because women's sexuality is so repressed, and women talking about sex is such a taboo.
Well, it's not just that there's no shame. Sometimes there's joy and glee. Yes. I mean, I went on to the prompt meme for Daredevil that I'm a part of, and the people who know the prompt meme are going to listen to this and they're going to laugh, but I kind of went on to the meme and I was like, you know, it's been a few posts since we've had any hardcore kink. I like some really, really messed up stuff. So I posted a bunch of requests because there'd been some slavery AU prompts that had been, like, a little too fluffy and, like, let's have 80 conversations about consent for me. So I was like, you know what, straight up, I'm going to post a whole bunch of stuff about just the worst kind of character gets taken captive and fucked by 80 guys, and just like, yeah. I'm just gonna post, you know, alien impregnation kink and the worst kind of ABO, and I'm just gonna put the kink back in this kink meme. And I went on and posted it all, and like the number of women who just unabashedly came onto my post and were like, yes, with like 20 S's, or were like, one person came on and they were like, man, this kink meme is getting all about cum shots and I love it. like people were one-upping me. People were posting new props that were kinkier than mine.
Good.
And
that's good.
Yeah. I love that about it.
Yeah, it's a safe space. It creates a safe, open space for you to do, like, rejoice about slavery AUs and cum shots and with other people that are like, just down. Like, there's no reason to be afraid or repress yourself in these group. It's just great and open, and that's what makes it so super appealing. And like you guys were saying earlier, it spans like all kinds of ages and walks of life. Like, you're just bonding with other women about something, you know, that's usually seen as taboo or that you wouldn't want to talk about on your, like, business Twitter or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome, and it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing wrong. In fact, it's awesome.
How much of your actual sexuality or your own sex life has been impacted by fanfiction?
So much. Just so much. My poor fiance, oh my god. I had done, like, some pretty risque things with, like, my ex, and then I meet this current fiance, and it's like, you have no idea what is gonna happen to you, okay? You have no idea what you're gonna go through, because fanfiction has influenced my sex life so much, and has changed, like, the things that I'm into so much. It's, an example I'm gonna give is, very, very recently, this was, like, a point of discussion for my fiance and I, and, it was something that I was really, really into and really interested in trying that he was really iffy about, and just tried it recently, so that's cool. But I had read so many fics, and it's like I read one and I was like, this is a thing. And then I had to, like, I had to look up more and I had to investigate it, and it's breath play. And I was like, it's just the best. It's just the best. And he was so like, I don't want to hurt you. And I was like, do it. Like, I am a sturdy human who can come back from things like this. And he's straight up, he's like, did you get this from fanfiction? Are these things that you like inspired by fanfiction? And I'm like, if I denied it, I would be lying to you. So I would want us to have an honest relationship. This is a fanfiction thing. And he's like, of course it is. So we have a good relationship that way. He's very indulgent to all my kinks. Prior to dating me, he's like, yeah, one time we had sex and not the missionary position. That's like the extent of his exploration of kink. So I'm like this kinky whirlwind that just came into his life. It's great.
I'm curious, what about you?
I don't know. I think for me, it's kind of given me courage to explore more. I mean, I've been, you know, kinky since the day is long, but I think after meeting folks in, you know, the fanfiction community who are in the scene and things like that, it's kind of, and meeting people in real life through fanfiction who are in the scene, you know, I've kind of gone and kind of started going to, you know, more workshops and clubs and things like that. And just kind of, it's one of my interests. So, you know, it's kind of inspired me to go just kind of seek it out more, which I might not have done if I hadn't kind of met, you know, people in real life through the writings and the work that I'm reading. So definitely, you know, expanding my horizons.
Lexi, what about you?
I definitely agree with it having influenced me, like, feeling better about exploring kinks in real life. Like, I've always been very curious about sexuality and different kinks, and this fan fiction and the community around fan fiction, in a sense, normalized it for me. And also that community aspect, if anything, helped me feel better about communicating, like, both in my sex life and with, you know, with friends or other people about sex and kink. So it just made me feel much better and more confident in talking about anything sex related.
Yeah, I mean, with me being ace, it's obviously not something that I'm necessarily looking to, like, pick up and take out into my sex life. But I think the thing it's done for me as an ace person that's nice is that it's allowed me to embrace the parts of me that are sexual or romantic without feeling the need to have, like, an active in-person sex life or feeling like I'm missing out, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah.
It's kind of affirming for me because I can talk to other women who write smut, and some of them are very sexual in their real life, but some of them aren't. But they still write smut, right? They'll still admit that they don't have an active sex life, but they're writing smut because they want to explore it and they want to think about it, but they don't necessarily want to go do it. And so it kind of, for me, helps me feel like that's also valid. Because being ace, there sometimes is a little bit of shame around the idea of if you're ace and you like, you know, to think about sex, or you like to masturbate, or you're in some ways sexual, that there's a little bit of a divide in the ace community of, like, are you ace
truly
enough?
Ace enough, yeah. That's
so
frustrating.
It's very frustrating. So it's nice to have this community of people on a wide, wide, wide spectrum to talk to and have that realization of it's a wide, wide, wide spectrum. So that person who wrote that BDSM fic could be going to BDSM clubs every single night, and that's why it's so good. But they could be a middle-aged housewife with 5 kids who hasn't had sex in 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be just as good, and you don't know necessarily, but anybody can bring sexual experience to the table, and anybody can write smut, right?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
But my question to you, especially you, Katie, because you said that you've moved some of the stuff into your sex life, is do you also ever feel, though, that fan fiction can be trusted in that sense to accurately reflect real life sexual practices? Because there are, to me, a lot of things in fan fiction that either you could not or should not be simulated in real life, or that, again, you don't know if it's someone who has actual sexual experience with that kink or if they are completely pulling it from their imagination.
Well, I do a lot of research too, so that helps a lot. But I also am more, I'm definitely more interested in fics that have things like resources linked at the end, where they're like, here is a guide on how to spank someone in the right way, and here is a guide on what kinds of bondage are safe and what'll hurt you and what won't, and that kind of, like, hurt you in a bad way, I mean, and what won't. So it's very helpful to have the internet available and to be able to get more information on things that I have just piqued my interest in fan fiction and to get more into making it a reality. But you definitely shouldn't just go with fan fiction, for sure. You should definitely research things that you are doing to yourself or to your partner, always.
Yeah, well, because one thing I wanted to make sure we talk about is that one of fan fiction readers and writers' bigger complaints about Fifty Shades of Grey, and one of the BDSM community's complaints about Fifty Shades of Grey, is that it is absolutely in no way, shape, or form an accurate text about consent, rape fantasy, or BDSM, right?
Yep.
And I think in the fan fiction world, it's a sliding scale. So you will have those authors who are kind of very experienced, or they're researching it very well. And then you will have the, like, amateur writer who is completely in their imagination making up new kinks wholesale, and who has no concern whatsoever about consent, or they just want to write something that on paper could happen, but that in the real world could never, ever happen.
Or you have writers who are kind of, you know, experienced, but like to write kind of fantasy kink.
Yeah, because, I mean, ABO, like Wolf Sex, I mean, like Sex Pollen, there's a lot of them out there, right? And how good they are or aren't going to be, or how realistic sex is or isn't going to be. I mean, there's a reason, too, why fan fiction has a reputation in the mainstream sometimes for bad sex. For, like, phrases like weeping cock or turgid member. Or for, I mean, I've read fics where, like, guys are coming and it's like they're drowning in their own cum. And it's like, that's not...
Yep.
That's not how that works.
Or things like self-lubricating assholes. That's one of my favorite things to bring up.
But here's the problem, too, is even in fics that are supposed to be realistic about sex, how many fics have you ever read where people have used something as lube, and you're like, no, no.
There's a whole blog about that.
Yeah.
There's a whole blog about bad things to use as lube.
Yep. Or no lube. Right? Some of them just avoid safe sex practices altogether. How many times in fan fiction does anyone ever really stop to put on a condom? It happens, but it's fewer and further between, right? Because it is meant to be fantasy. It's not meant to necessarily be reality. Some people like to make sure that their fic about rape has a conversation about consent, or it deals with the aftermath of that, yes, this person was raped. Some people... The fantasy is straight up, I mean, I said I'm into some dark stuff. The fantasy is straight up stuff that you would never in a billion years want to see replicated in the real world, because you know deep down that it's horrible and awful. Like, yeah. The whole Hydra Trash Party meme about dehumanizing Bucky Barnes in Marvel, like, is there anyone who thinks that in real life any of that is something that is at all appealing, right?
No, but I just discovered the Hydra Trash Party meme, and I thought, this is great.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I love that stuff, but there has to be that ability to separate fantasy from reality. And I think with 50 Shades of Grey busting into the mainstream, the concern for a lot of people was, if this is the only representation of this type of erotica that's the big mainstream one. Like, in fan fiction, I think we all know reading it that it's meant to be pure fantasy, and we all read it knowing that it's a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
But when you just have this one thing in the mainstream where there's not that spectrum of literature that's being talked about, it's just this thing, it shifts the whole conversation, right?
Right.
And, like, that's when you get the legal system of somebody trying to use a 50 Shades of Grey defense to raping someone, which has happened.
Yeah.
And I've had conversations with some women who've read 50 Shades of Grey, trying to explain to them, you know, why this, you know, may be problematic, and a lot of people just don't want to hear it.
The thing is, in fan fiction, I think we all know that things can be both really, really hot and really, really problematic. Right?
Yes.
I don't know if the mainstream, the women who are reading 50 Shades of Grey are kind of coming to it with that same understanding, right?
Right. And I think a lot of times that same problem can happen with guys or women watching, you know, visual mainstream porn. Like, where do they draw the lines? Like, when does this stop becoming fantasy and start becoming something that people perceive as the way things are supposed to go sexually?
Yeah.
Like, where? And with 50 Shades of Grey too, that you're right, it became like it's its own representation. It's the one representation of the fanfic community and kind of BDSM in literature. It's the most prominent in the media, and people were looking to it as like a guide for maybe proper BDSM etiquette.
Well, and people were also looking at it as the singular female fantasy of the moment. Right.
Of course.
Yeah,
so with, I think when you're in fan fiction, again, it's that diversity. So I can go on and I can know that there's a very, very small community who are into like the hardcore rape fantasy stuff. There's a really, really big community into the fluffy stuff. You know, there are lots of people into this or that. And it doesn't feel like there needs to be one female sex fantasy versus I think the 50 Shades of Grey defense of, well, I raped her because isn't that what women want? Like, when that's the only thing that the media are putting out there as this is what women are en masse fantasizing about, I could see that that gets very confusing. The idea that there has to be this, like, monolithic idea of female sexuality of what women are looking for. And you can kind of see that in the pickup artist community and some of the men's rights activist stuff as well, that there's, like, this great search that men sometimes in groups seem to be doing for what is the monolithic one thing that we can present to women that's their male fantasy. Like, what's the formula, like, that we can crack, right?
Yeah.
And if you read fan fiction, you know that there's absolutely, there's no one thing.
There's so much diversity and such a variation,
No, and I think that that's unfortunate that the mainstream kind of feels the need to package it that way.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the kind of pornography that actually exists within the world of fan fiction, which we've touched on a little bit. Not all smut is the same. You can have smut that is worked into a fluffy, fluffy fic that's friendship to lovers, and it's sweet and it's gentle, and it's all about the romance. You can have smut that is straight up about domination and power dynamics. You can have really, 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 really long plotty smut where the smut is every 10 chapters, and you can have, you know, a 1,000 word thing that doesn't even have a plot besides character A walks in a room and fucks character B. So let's talk a little bit about the huge variety out there and the types of smut that we personally prefer or have experience with and the value of all the different kinds. So Lexi, we'll start with you. Do you read fan fiction specifically looking for smut, like with the filters on for that? Or is it something that happens within other fics you're reading for other reasons? And then what kind of smut, when you come across, is the stuff that most appeals to you? And kind of why do you find that particular smut so appealing?
This is definitely a multi-layered question. I do usually, when I seek out fan fiction, I am usually looking for erotica because I want to see a facet of two of my fave characters, two, like some of my OTPs that is not reflected in canon. Or sometimes it is reflected in canon, but, you know, I want more. I look for, like, just porn without plot. Like, just straight up, all right, here's what it is, let's just open it, there it is, they're doing it, that's great. But sometimes I like to read multi-chapter, you know, I love, like, long, slow-burning fics, too, with a lot of plot, alternate universe, or, you know, canon universe, crossovers, kind of anything. And if there's smut in there, like, smut every 10 chapters, like, if it's really well-written, and I'm super interested in it, like, yeah, that's awesome. And I just like anything that, you know, allows two of my favorite characters to interact in an erotic way, and it's just interesting. That's the most interesting to me.
And curious, what about you? Are you kind of usually specifically looking for porn, or is it just something that happens in the world of reading general fan fiction, and then what kind of erotica do you find yourself the most drawn to?
I think it just depends on the situation. Sometimes I just go in for, like, a filter search, like a tag search, if I'm in, like, the mood for something. But I like a lot of the kind of longer, slow burn fix. I think what I'm looking for, and I think in that maybe in erotica, is I think some of my friends call it thinky sex, where you're really getting into the headspace of the characters. For me, I think the act is just boring, but kind of getting into the emotional side of it, what people are thinking, you know, how things affect them, is kind of what I'm looking for in the erotica that I read. You know, I'm not really in, and so that's, it's like a filter that way. I mean, I don't know. I think I read for story first and then, you know, with a sexual element. But I think all of the fan fiction that I'm really looking for is kind of really getting into, you know, how all these things affect the character internally, which is what I wouldn't get from kind of mainstream pornography, where it's very two-dimensional. You're just seeing people and you don't know, you know, what are they thinking? You know, what's the motivation behind this? So I think that's kind of what I look for in fan fiction and my erotica or pornography.
Katie, what about you?
I will be, like, completely put off from a fic if it's too long and there isn't smut, so.
I'm the same way, Katie. I don't like the slow burn. Just get to the sex.
Yeah, and, like, preferably immediately. Yeah. It's funny because most of the people that I know that read fanfiction are, like, in for the long haul. Like, oh, let's read these 200K fic dating IUs where they don't actually get together until the end. And I'm like, no, not here for that. That's too much. I don't read long fics very much to begin with. So when I do, it has to be something super smutty.
Yeah, I agree with you, Katie. Like, to me, I mean, I think you and I are the people who PWP, like, porn without plot, is for, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, just to bring it back to what you said, Curious, too, is that I think a PWP in the world of mainstream porn would be awful. Because you don't already know the characters, right?
Yeah.
So I think that I agree with you that there has to be that need to have an understanding of the character dynamics and the characters. But I think that you can have fics that get right to the porn that are maybe even just 1,000 words that can be these crazy good character explorations, right?
Yes.
Because you already know them. I mean, that's the advantage of reading something that's not original. That's the advantage of coming in, is that you've got the 200K words of plot. It's called canon. So now you're just kind of coming in. And, I mean, that's why, even though I like PWP, I will look at the dynamic, right? There are certain sets of characters who I only like this character when they're a bottom, right?
Yeah.
I only like this character when they're a top, or I only like this character at a certain point in canon.
Yeah.
And it's because I already have that understanding of the characters. So I want those dynamics. I want to be able to bring that plot to it, even though it itself kind of stands alone from everything else going on.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes the really good PWPs really good, is because it's just like you have the understanding of the character, and now here they are in an erotic context. And that's just so awesome, because you don't get to see it in canon.
like a really good missing scene where two people are just having sex in the middle of what you know is happening.
Right?
Yes, the best.
I'm yes, always down for that. Or yes. Or just really good kind of side characterizations of that person where someone's imagining what they would look for in a sex partner, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find those to be really interesting. You can have, though, you can have crazy long fics that have some of the best smut you've ever read.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah,
true.
Absolutely. But yeah, there's something about those PWPs that just kind of get in and out and get the job done.
Yeah, which is a bit funny. I also think that my my appreciation for PWPs is a lot, like, that's what I write as well. So I have, like, I was laughing about this yesterday because I was talking to a couple people about what I write, because I'm just gonna about to start writing for a new fandom. And I was like, yeah, I have, like, 200 fics on AO3, and four of them are multi-chap. So... Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, even going back to those conversations that we had about how fanfiction is a community, like, when I'm workshopping or when I'm talking to people online about a particular, you know, PWP or a particular fic that they're working on, as much as we're talking about, like, ah, what's another word for cum, and, like, which character should be the bottom in this, there's also stuff of, like, well, does this make sense for this character to be on the bottom? Or why would this character be in this bar at this time? You know, like, the person will be, like, researching a sex toy, but also researching bars to make sure that they find, like, what's the drink this character would order. So there's still, like, an underlying sense of trying to get the characters right and the dynamics right, even in a weird AU, even in a PWP. There's still that sense of the dynamic.
I feel like that's a lot of what makes a good PWP a good PWP, is if you put that, like, effort into it, so that it's not just two faceless characters with the names of these characters getting it on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
then what's even the point? I mean, in my opinion, that's...
Yeah.
I stop reading. It's like, oh, well, all right. Like, I don't know anything about how these characters are interacting with each other in this situation, and that's kind of what I came here for, so...
Yeah.
And I think certain ships evolve solely on the basis of good porn they can lend themselves to, right? Like, I think that there has to be, at its core, a sexual spark for a ship to emerge, right? I mean, I think that it's very rare for you to see a ship that emerges that people can't find a really good PWP angle on where that underlying sexual attraction comes from, right? The UST.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's certain scenes, like, that just have birthed a million PWPs. I mean, I can't tell you. Like, I was a Frost Iron shipper, and that ship was born from one scene where Loki throws Tony out a window. I know what the word defenestration means, solely became a Frost Iron shipper, because it came up so much that he threw him through a window. Or, like, Steve and Tony, right? They have that whole scene of, you know, put on the suit, what are you?
Right? And, like, a lot of like the phrase "make me" in that scene as well. Like, you're just asking to be shoved against a wall and made out with, etc.
But it sets up a particular sexual dynamic.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that you can easily just kind of step into and imagine and say, this is the sexual dynamic between these people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that the really, really fluffy stuff can ever live with the smutty stuff? Because I find that sometimes when I'm reading erotica, it's hard for me, when somebody's doing something really, really domestic and fluffy, for me to find the erotica as interesting. So how do you guys feel about, like, erotica that's very, very, very fluffy and overly romantic versus, like, a PWP?
I feel like it's easier if you're doing, for example, a fic that's got a lot of kink and, like, established, like, there's a dom-sub relationship, and they get into a character when they're scening and things like that. It's different that way, I feel like, because you can have this, like, fluffy-as-hell relationship when it's just, like, you as yourselves. But when you get into the, like, a potential, like master-slave type narrative, then it's different. And the tone's different, and how characters treat each other is different. And I think that's a good way to have a marriage of the two.
What do you think? Curious, we'll go to you.
I'm trying to think. I think the one fic that I read that married the two was similar to what you were just saying about, it was an established kind of kink relationship, and outside of the sex, it was very kind of fluffy. And that worked, but I usually don't read a lot of fluff.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
What about you, Lexi? Do you think that you can marry the two? Have you ever read really good fluff that was also really good erotica?
I mean, I think it depends on the type of fluff. I mean, I've read some PWPs that have been really, you know, hot, for lack of a better word, but also there was this element of lovemaking and making love, and so, like, sometimes that really works if you're in the mood for something a little bit fluffier. Like, I think when, you know, the focus is on, like, the love bond between two characters, like, either within or outside of a, you know, BDSM kind of relationship. Like, I think when you read something that is porny, but there's an aspect of the characters being or falling in love, then I think it can work. But I don't read a lot of, like, domestic AUs or anything like that. That doesn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I have a hard time with, like, if the characters are, like, having a tickle fight and then it evolves into sex. Like, you can either be adorable and cute and, like, kissing each other on the cheek and, like, you know, where's my dinner? I'm home, sweetie, that type of thing. Or you can be sexy. Like, it's weird because I think in real life marries the two. A lot. Like, you can have a fluffy established relationship, but I think in fan fiction people are usually looking for a different dynamic, right? Because it probably because it's fantasy.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's interesting too, because I mean, another thing that came up a little bit in the Warnings, Triggers, and Squick episode was the idea that fan fiction writers tend to love codependent relationships.
Yeah,
right? Or unhealthy relationships.
Yes. Yeah.
And not always think about them in the context of unhealthy, but because it's a fantasy world, you know, I don't think anyone in real life fantasizes necessarily about the happy couple who garden together in their 60s and still have a sex life. Like, you usually it's a Romeo and Juliet, do or die, you jump,
very passionate.
I jump.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily always lend itself to smut and fluff being together.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, retirement Sherlock fic, where you get a lot of that beekeeping in their old age.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about, like, a beekeeping Sherlock fic that would have really good smut in it, and that's a hard one to...
Yeah, I haven't come across any of those.
I don't know.
So I'm going to ask a question that I've asked and we talked about again in other shows, but that is interesting again in this context, which is, I think with the rise of kink memes, I feel like fan fiction has slowly over the years become a much kinkier place than it ever was, you know, 10 years ago. You used to have to warn for slash, and now if that's the weirdest thing in your fic, well, you may as well be reading Jen, right?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's just an abundance of things that I have learned just in the last 5 or 6 years in fan fiction that are things that I need a bit of brain bleach, I think. Like, they can't be unseen, they can't be unknown. Just definitions of things now, where when I have friends who hear about a sex act and they're like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh, I know. Let me tell you about the 100,000 words I read about it. It took me a while to even get comfortable with slash when I first got into fanfiction back in the, like, GeoCities, fanfiction.net was just a new thing kind of days. Slash was, like, the craziest thing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of BDSM was kind of coming into it, but it was mostly slash and sometimes polyamory. And now, coming back after a long time away when I got into Marvel fandom, it was like, what the hell is figging? Like, what's a dom sub-universe? There's no way that someone's actually made a butt plug that looks like that, have they? Like, it was just all these questions about, like, what am I looking at? I feel like fandom has gotten way kinkier. Yeah. I feel like if you want to create something and your intention is maybe to shock or to be the first one to explore something or to deliberately just go through as many kinks as you can find in a fic... it can get really, really, really out there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about why you guys think that that happened, kind of how that happened, why kink memes became so popular for that. So, Lexi, we'll start with you. I mean, why do you think it is that it seems that it's going in a direction of getting kinkier and kinkier?
I think really it's the rise of all of these communities, like the Kink Meme and AO3 and Tumblr. Like, people are making online writing groups and making, you know, they're going out of their way to connect to other people that, you know, kind of spur each other on. And the creation of this community and, like, the acceptance, even if you're not acknowledging it, you know, in real life, there's still people that accept it and want to explore it with you. And I think that attracts a lot of people who want to write or be a part of the community and participate. And then you just are getting the numbers. Like, people are getting more drawn to it and writing their kink and seeing that other people are interested in it. And there you go. Next thing you know, you're not the only one writing about Sam and Dean as werewolves. Like, in fact, you're probably, like, the zillionth person writing about it.
Yeah,
I think fanfiction.net kind of removing the ability to post smut, and then AO3 rising in response to that. I think AO3's tagging system is one of the most genius things I think ever invented for the person who loves smut.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it used to be that if you wrote, like, a werewolf bestiality fic on an archive, there was no way for you to very quickly find every other werewolf bestiality fic. Like,
right.
It just wasn't a thing. So you'd kind of know that there was a couple, but you might not be aware of how many, versus when you can go on AO3 and you can put a tag in and be like, oh, there's 5,000 of these.
Maybe I'll write something else.
I think it immediately makes you be like, oh, this is fine for me to write then, because clearly there's lots of people who like it and will read it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and knowing that there are so many of one thing might lead other people who are looking to write fanfic to maybe look at it from a different perspective or try to embellish upon it or even just move on to the next kink. So it's like, all right, well, this has been done, or all right, well, this has been done, but I'm going to contribute to it anyway.
Yeah, I feel like fandoms also have a minimum level of kink now that, like, fans... Because I remember when Daredevil fandom was coming up and you'd go on to the Kink Meme, it was almost like obligatory ABO request, obligatory BDSM request. It was kind of like, our fandom needs at least one of these. So I'm asking for it on behalf of fandom as a whole, that we need to have at least one of the following things in our fandom. So somebody needs to write one of them, at least. Curious, what do you think about that?
I think that, you know, as people learn about more and more things, they might be more interested in writing them. And so I think it'll only grow.
Katie, what do you think?
Well, I think about that, and I think about the fact that I've written some weird things in the past. And I'm like, there's always a place in fan fiction. That's a thing that I've noticed about smaller fandoms versus larger fandoms, is larger fandoms are way more accepting of weirder things because it's already, like, 90% of the time it's already been explored at least a little bit. I think that fandom brings it out in a lot of people, which is good.
Can we talk for a second then, just before we move on to Fic Rex, about, like, what not to do when it comes to smut? Because we've talked a little bit about what makes really, really good PWPs and smuts, but, I mean, most of the bad fic that gets proliferated into the mainstream, and a lot of the most epic bad fics that even become memes among the fanfiction community, tend to be examples of bad smut. So I wanted to know if any of you guys have had particular experiences with really, really just bad examples of it, and what you feel like kind of makes a PWP particularly terrible or not, versus something that's really, really good. And just contrast kind of the two, right, which we've been talking about a little. And Katie, we'll start with you.
Sure. An interesting thing about fandom is you can get the weirdest kink that shouldn't be interesting and the weirdest pairing that shouldn't work. And if someone writes it right, you can be almost sold on it. And I'm reminded of this because the friend that I'm staying with just texted me to remind me that someone wrote a fan fiction where one of the members of One Direction has sex with President Obama. it's like a fandom favorite because of it. And like, it's something that the fandom, like, not everybody knows about it, but lots of people know about it. And it's not even, like, not something you would come to expect or something that you would go looking for, but it's there. I'm so iffy about smut sometimes. I was actually just talking about this with someone the other day. Sometimes when it's, like, too descriptive, like, I don't need to know how they're having sex, like, thrust for thrust. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that when I write, sometimes I am really vague about it. Not vague. It's like, you know what's happening, and I say what's happening, but I don't go into a lot of detail about it. And I think I appreciate that in fic a lot, because I don't need so much. And I find that good smut fics, it's how it's done, not necessarily how long the scene is. It's how it's written and the kinds of language and things that are used. And on the note of language, I feel like particular words can throw off a fic completely. Like you were saying, like turgid members and whatnot, like that kind of thing can just ruin your reading experience and completely take away from the experience for you. I don't think I've ever closed a fic because of the language that they used, but I've definitely closed a fic because of grammar before. So, yeah, yep. So there.
Yeah.
I think it's the flowery prose. Like, something like Turgid Member, like, when you're trying so hard to be overly descriptive of everything happening,
yeah.
Where you're finding the need to use so many adjectives.
Yes.
I think in erotica especially, it kind of is just like, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what about you? Because you said you're in a lot of writing groups and you work through that a lot.
I think the only kind of PWP I've backed out of is ones that the characterization is so bad that I feel like I don't even see the characters. Other things are, I'm confused about what's going on. Like, I can't actually, like, picture. The description is very confusing. I don't know who's doing what.
Sometimes when you have same gender fic, that happens.
Yes.
With same pronouns? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two kind of main things for me. Yeah, other than that, I'm pretty open. But if I'm either confused or can't get into the characters' heads, or that's usually when I go. Or if it just feels like the characters are just an extension of the writer in some ways, you know,
Yeah.
Like they're acting like they're 14 or something like that, then sometimes I'll back out of that as well.
Lexi, what about you?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with, it's just really important to find, you know, PWP that balances the characterization and with just enough descriptiveness, or not even, like, I don't need a specific amount of description per se, but it can't be too much. Like, I don't need to feel like it's a medical procedure, like that I'm, you know, like this is all happening step by step and there's no real... You know, you have to balance what's happening, the actual erotic act, with the characterization. And, yeah, there are certain words when people are grasping for synonyms, like if they've used, you know, cock or erection too much, and then you throw out something ridiculous sounding or too flowery, it's just like, ooh, you were just trying too hard for another synonym there, but it's too funny, like... I've actually laughed out loud reading certain things before, and that's when it's done, like, the magic is gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
That just did not work. So just careful word selection is really good, and above all, you know, characterization. You have to feel like this is actually happening between these two or three eight people.
I really love that in the fanfiction community you have to specify, you know, two or three or eight.
Yeah, because, you know, whatever. It might be two people. It might be the whole cast of Walking Dead. Who knows?
Okay, so, I mean, I think that that's all really good to keep in mind, right? I mean, it's hard because I think, like, with genfic, I'll read a whole stack of them if I'm in the mood for genfic, and there might only be like two or three of like the 10 that I look at that I'm like, no, I'm not feeling this. I feel like when I'm looking for smut though, I'm pickier.
Definitely. Me
yeah.
too.
I feel like that's where it's like every other fic, two sentences in, I'm like, not what I'm looking for today.
Yep.
So
yeah.
It's very easy to not only to not get it right, but I think, again, some of it's just me being picky, right?
Yeah.
I think that everybody goes into it looking for different things, and so it's very hard to be that smut writer who can write stuff that appeals to everybody, that's just, in all circumstances, always hot.
Yeah.
Does that even exist?
Yeah, I don't think that's...
there's some pretty famous smut fics, though, I think, out there, right? There's some pretty good ones, I think, that in most fandoms, you'll find the couple that rise to the top of the kudos lists when you're filtering.
I can think of a couple, yeah.
Me too, yeah.
So let's move on and do fic recs. And we all have brought one. I actually found one, so I have a fic rec as well.
Good job, Tim.
We will start with you, Curious.
All right, mine is, it's a fic called Transport. It's in the Sherlock fandom. It's by a brilliant writer called This Pretty Wren. And this was one of the first stories I read that kind of put the idea in my head that, you know, ideas such as these had a place in fandom, and it sparked me to, you know, start writing my first King series. And this is so like a BDSM club for sensory deprivation bondage after an intense casework to kind of, he uses it as a means of closing down his senses and kind of dampening the constant data stream that's always pouring into his head. And John works there occasionally part-time in the club as kind of like a, you know, medical assistant. And it's about what happens when he discovers Sherlock there. And for me, this was kind of the epitome of like thinking King writing. It's really, really internal. You really kind of get into the heads of both of these characters and kind of, you know, why they're there and what they're doing. And it's kind of, it's really moving and it's incredibly hot. I mean, it's more, I think, erotica, definitely not TWP. It's more erotica, but I think, you know, I've read it multiple times over the years and it's so well written and so interesting that I have to rec that one.
And Lexi, what's your fic rec for this week?
I had a really tough time choosing because there's a lot of good ones, but this one is from one of my nearest and dearest fandoms, the Hannibal fandom.
Oh, no.
It's called One Devotes Oneself Wholeheartedly by Berlin Wall. And it's just PWP, and the premise is Will Graham goes over to Hannibal's house for dinner, and Hannibal seduces him, and it's awesome. And I just love it because you really get, like, it's very in character, and the author is, actually, there's some pretty funny moments in the beginning during the build-up, like, where you can just totally see that this would be, like, the awkward slash hilarious way that the interaction pre-seduction between these two characters would work, and then it builds up to a really awesome smutty scene that's like one of my favorites.
We haven't had a Hannibal fic rec yet, so
yay. Well, I've got so many and I've written some, but
yay Fannibals. Nice. And Katie, what's your fic rec?
Well, shockingly, it's One Direction fic.
That's all right, though. We haven't had a lot of 1D fans on the show yet, so I'm glad that you're in that fandom and we can represent them.
Yes, it's very new for me, but that's okay. Like, the general fandom tropes and things aren't new, because that's pretty consistent with lots of fandoms. But so, the fic I'm wrecking is titled Switch Out the Batteries by Estaj Mal and Loaded Gun. And it's the concept of it is that they met in a sex shop in the first part of the fic. And then in the second part of the fic, it's like Louis continues to work in the sex shop and Harry does become a singer and he's gone on tour. And when he comes back, their dynamic is just off and they can't seem to pin down why. And so the person who worked in the sex shop with Louis was Niall. And Niall is now the designer of like high-class sex toys for a company. And he's like, okay, give me a list of things you like and I'll sort you out. And so he makes them this set of sex dice and they start to use it and it very very much fixes the problems that they had. So it's very, very well written and very well researched as well. There's some riskier things, like there's a whole chapter on visiting and there's a whole chapter on they go to a club and have a group thing that happens. And it's all very like there's a lot of like humiliation and subjugation as well. And that's something that you can't really explore if you're not putting like a lot of thought into it. And so it's very well researched and thought out. And there's links in author's notes to all the things, like all the different things that they use and all the different like methods that they use and the different things that they do that are like demonstrations or the pages where you can buy these things if you're interested in it, like that kind of thing. So there's a lot of resources to look through for this fic, which makes it very involved, in my opinion, which is really great. So I can't rec that fic enough. It's so good.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm actually laughing because talk about, you know, gleeful community of sex positive people. I'm laughing because the series that this fic is in, Katie, is called Dildornado Verse.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is, in fact. It's because the first paragraph of the fic is Louis in the sex shop alone working, and some kids, by which I mean teenagers, come in and knock over a display of dildos. So it's like Louis was swimming in dildos. They were up to his knees. And like... Yes. So that's why Dildo Nato Verse is the name of the verse. Yes.
Delightful.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to rec one, actually, that despite the fact that it's from 2010, I only just read it, like, last week. And when I read it, I was like, oh my god, where has this been all my life? It is an Iron Man 1 fic.
Okay.
And it is Pepper Potts and Tony Stark, so it's a het pairing. Yay. Canon het pairing. It's also tagged Iron Man Armor / Tony Stark. Because it is about Pepper Potts operating a dildo in Tony's suit to get him off while he's flying it.
Perfect.
I really love it. I love the characterization of a Tony who would build that into his suits.
he so would.
Well, that's what I love about it, though. It's really, really wonderful because I have to say, not only is it really great smut, in 1,600 words, it is the best, hands-down, characterization of both Pepper Potts and Tony Stark that I have ever seen in fic. You could lift it and stick it in the movie, and it would not be out of place, aside from the fact that Tony is being fucked by a dildo.
It's funny that you said lift it and stick it in the movie, because... I'm a child. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I didn't realize I'd done that. But yeah, it's a fantastic characterization of them. It's just the dialogue that the person wrote is the most spot on I've ever seen, where it is her kind of teasing him about it, and him being kind of sassy with her back about it. It perfectly encapsulates why their relationship itself is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I was just delighted by the porn, but also by the characterization. I just couldn't believe that this little PWP had gotten two characters who fandom just, for some reason, has a really hard time nailing in terms of how they speak, especially to one another, just perfectly correct, like, perfectly right. Just the joking kind of one-upsmanship dynamic that the two of them have, it was just beautiful. So I really enjoyed it, and that's my rec for this week. So that is our show, and thank you so much for listening. Normally, this is where I would share some feedback, but we didn't really receive any on our Yuletide episode, and we did take quite a long break. So instead, I'm going to talk to you about an awesome new community that I've put together for the show on Dreamwidth. Now, we've been working lately, in case you all have noticed, to update and improve our Tumblr, and we also recently discontinued our Facebook page to focus on other things. One of those things actually is the new OT Podcast Dreamwidth community, which you can find through our Tumblr, or you can find at otpodcast.dreamwidth.org. And you can post anonymously, or you can post logged in if you'd like. And what you'll find there is a post for each of our episodes where you can discuss the topics, as well as an off-topic post where you can talk about fandom in general. And of course, you can continue to talk about the show on Tumblr and on AO3, but Dreamwidth replaces our Tumblr discus comments and the Facebook page to just give you a more fan-friendly place to delve into the conversations our show inspires. And to help really get things started on Dreamwidth, what I'm going to do each episode is throw out some questions to our listeners, which I will put there to keep things going or ask for your stories, and then I'll share some of your answers as part of the show, as I always have, when I've gotten feedback in the past. Now, this week's conversation starting questions, we have two. The first is that Katie shared the story of her and her fiancé's fanfiction-inspired sexual adventures. But how has the sexual content of your fanfiction found its way into your real-life bedroom? We would love to hear any stories from listeners of how fanfiction erotica has impacted their love life or their sexuality, or, as you heard in my case, their lack of love life. Also, the second question this week is we want to know what advice you would give to erotica writers to avoid becoming the dreaded passed-around example of bad fic. So when it comes to erotica or smuts or porn, what common writing choices spoil your mood or make you say no thanks? Now, we already also have questions up as well for the last episode about 2015, so go and check those out as well, and please continue to send us any feedback on that episode, and we will share any of that we get next time. Thanks again to our contributors Lexi, Curious, and Katie. Curious has an amazing website called These Curious Times that celebrates fandom, and she interviewed me for the site recently, and it was a ton of fun, so you can check that out at thesecurioustimes.com. As always, thanks to Peter Chakowski for writing and performing our theme song and putting together our show logo. If you want to know right away when a new episode of the show drops, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes or from within AO3. Reviewing our show on iTunes helps people to find our show, and it helps bring more people in on the conversations that we've been having. So please, please do that if it's at all possible. We really appreciate it. We're also available on SoundCloud and Twitter, so please come and check us out. And as always, your kink is not my kink, and that's okay.